Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehr on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. Every year, the People's Hall of Fame honors a group of New Yorkers from a particular community that have left their mark on this city. And this year's crop is near and dear to our hearts, radio DJs. If you've cruised around the dial in New York City at any point over the last four decades, I bet you know these names. Hip-hop pioneer DJ Red Alert of Kiss FM, Kathleen Biggins of WFUV and her Irish weekend programs, WBGO's Latin DJ Awil de Rivera, WNYC's own folk song hero Oscar Brand, jazz champion Phil Schapp of WKCR, and the freeform pioneer Bob Fass of WBAI. We have just a few of these Hall of Famers in the studio with us, and we couldn't be more honored. And we're also joined by Steve Zeitlin, head of City Lore, which presents the awards each year. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. I feel like I'm here under false pretenses.
You are Hall of Famers. First question, radio DJs this year, why?
You know, City Lore is always... Since we started way back in 1986, we always try to look for things that are iconic in New York. And we started off, you know, looking at street games and children's play and Skelly and Ringolevio and things like that. And we realized, too, when we started talking to people and getting nominations for the Hall of Fame, that people were so close to the radio DJs that shaped their lives. We like to quote the line by the Ramones, you know, from I Remember Rock and Roll Radio, where do you remember lying in bed with the covers pulled up over your head? And that whole world in which was really tied to the early days of rock and roll with Alan Freed and Murray the K and Cousin Brucey, you know, were part of that whole AM radio idea, which was so iconic to the way people remember rock and roll and the way they grew up. And the other thing that's so much a part of New York is all the different communities that comprise the city. And we started to realize that these DJs, the radio DJs, which in some ways are endangered because so much of the radio is now web-based, and there's not this idea that the local DJ is also tied to the local community and the world that's happening right here in New York, that we decided to do a special People's Hall of Fame this Sunday at the Museum of the City of New York, starting at 3, which is both going to talk about the old-time rock and roll DJs and honor six iconic New York DJs, of which these two gentlemen are among them.
As I say, I'm here under false pretenses.
Indeed, they're honoring rock and roll, so they brought us.
That's Phil Schapp, Bob Fass. So I want to tell listeners that we're taking calls, we're taking fan calls. If you have things you want to say, moments you remember of listening to some of these Hall of Famers on the radio, we want to hear your stories. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Now, Bob Fass, I want to take a minute and just listen to an iconic moment from Radio Unnameable from January 1966. You were talking to another Bob. Let's take a listen.
WBA. Hello.
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 Hi, can I talk to Bob Dylan?
Sure.
This is Steve Vogel. I'd like to know how a nice, healthy guy with both legs and both arms who's not a student or anything can keep from getting drafted.
You're a student and you're being drafted and you know somebody that doesn't have any arms or legs?
Yeah, you know, like Bob Dylan, you know, nice healthy guy, you know, not a student or anything. How does he keep from getting drafted?
I don't know. Yeah, well, I'm not going to go into that.
So that's the caller asking why Bob Dylan's not being drafted.
That's right.
Do you remember that moment, Bob Dylan sitting in the studio?
Yes, I do. It was very embarrassing because we all of us people in the folk world were talking about how Phil Oakes said we should resist, and people were talking about burning draft cards, and there were demonstrations a couple of blocks from here where hundreds of people held up their draft cards and burned them. But as I say, I am here under false pretenses because I spin records. I do. Delphine Blue is on BAI right now. She's spinning records. But I... I make comments with the records. You know the story about the heirloom potato?
Tell me the story of the heirloom potato.
Well, she was a very aristocratic heirloom potato, and she wanted, her parents actually wanted her to get married, and she didn't see anyone who she liked. You know, no, none of the other potatoes that were available were interesting to her. And she said, well, I would like to marry Rush Limbaugh. And they said, well, he looks like a potato, but he is not aristocracy as you are. He is a commentator.
Well, I think we're getting a little sample of what you're known for is inventing free-form radio. When did you come up with that term, and what does it mean?
Well, it means it's not square like a swimming pool. It's kidney-shaped. It means that, I guess the best definition for it is idiosyncratic serendipity, because everybody who does it does it in a slightly different way, and I didn't invent it. It happened simultaneously all over the FM band when the FCC, remember that? You can say that on...
You can still say FCC.
They said, well, FM cannot simulcast AM. It's got to be slightly different. It's got to be original programming on FM. And so there were these empty hours at night. And, you know, there weren't that many other things on FM. And at a certain point, WBAI, in my 6 nights a week from midnight to 6, was number one in FM.
Huh. Opened up the mic and...
It was... well, I opened up the mic. I brought in members of the folk community, people who had been turned on by listening to KCR for years and years.
And here we are. Phil Schaap, tell me how you thought about your work. And when you got into the studio, what was sort of your mission and objective? Were you thinking you were doing some sort of performance? Were you just trying to get the word out about jazz music? What were you trying? What were you after?
Well, first of all, you've got a sample of my broadcasting and also its antithesis. I've been here 8 minutes and I haven't played a record. But on the other hand, I haven't said anything up till now. So yin and yang has been on there. Your question is most pertinent to what we've been doing at WKCR for so long. That had been literally the voice of Columbia University, literally from the classroom. And I am from those who took over the classrooms in the late 1960s, and with it came the radio station. And I'd been on it for some time, even though I was still a teenager, but in September of 70, we kind of thought over, what have we and what should we do? So we said, well, what we should do is help things that need help. And it's funny because it was September 15th or 16th of 70, he said, one person doesn't need our help is Jimi Hendrix, and he died that night. And one community that does need help is jazz. And here in their midst was a student who already was a jazz expert. Pardon me for patting myself on the back, but the history professors at Columbia were hiring me to give lectures, and I just brought it to the station as an access point to the music and as helping my teachers, the jazz musicians, who were largely still alive and still active.
We've got some fan calls coming in. Henry and
Fort
Lee.
Are you sure they're fans?
It sounds like it. Henry, what do you want to say about Phil Schaap?
Phil probably knows my voice from just calling in and thanking him during his broadcasts, because I've been listening to him, gosh, maybe 30 years, always on a tabletop radio or the car stereo.
Thank you for tolerating me.
Phil, you know, what can I say? We get to the meat and we take the Schaap as the wheat, I should say, and we get to we take the Schaap. But I've shared you with my children. I've shared Phil with young clients. I was the massage therapist for the Billy Elliot Boys, the Broadway show. And there was one kid from Cincinnati, an 11-year-old fella, Joseph, who would only listen to Phil during his hour and a half torture sessions. And he just
I was
loved
the torture.
You, and he pledged money when the state, when your station was in trouble. He and his mom pledged money, and Phil's not just a city treasure; he's a national treasure. So thank you, and thanks very much.
Well, thank you, Henry.
What can I say?
Thanks for your call, Henry. We've got a call from Ken that speaks to that sort of national reach of Phil Shapp. Ken, you're calling from New Orleans. What's your question?
Good day, Phil Shapp. Ken Mask here.
Oh, wow. Good afternoon, hey. Doctor. Or morning in your end.
Tolerating my voice. He's tolerated both my voice and my face for years. I met Phil back in the early 90s when I was living in New York, and he was good friends with Buck Clayton. And, of course, as you all know, Phil has been the airways of jazz for quite a while and helping out with jazz at Lincoln Center, and I've been a huge personal friend and fan of his for a while. But the question that I have for him, something I've never asked him, and you can ask Phil any question in any topic, and as he famously says to us, not just jazz. I'm going to get back to jazz, though. I wanted to know, Phil, what is the basis of your affinity for Charlie Parker, for the Bird Flight? Why Parker, and why such a devoted affinity for him?
Well, Charlie Parker taught me where the middle is. Our radio station has been doing the programming we're doing today since at the very latest 1970. But the turning point in WKCR listenership was the Charlie Parker Festival in August and September of 1973. And yes, I do mean 24/7. Lenny Tristano was still alive, and he had a lot of students. He also had a lot of former students who were teachers, and he called people up, and he said, get five people to tune into the Charlie Parker Festival, and then get them to he started a telephone game that got everybody to hear our broadcast. And while we didn't change, our listenership expanded. The pivot to our success, modicum of success, is the Charlie Parker Festival of August and September 1973. And I thought to myself, well, what have I learned from this? And I learned that the people who loved Ornette Coleman liked Charlie Parker, and the people who loved Jelly Roll Morton liked Charlie Parker, and that there were very few other jazz artists that could be said of. So I, I gave the people what they wanted, and I'm still doing it. It'd be 40 years since that festival in September. I've been on 43 years, and I play Charlie Parker every day, and it's worth listening to. It's its own reward.
All right, Janet in the East Village, you have something you want to say to Bob Fass?
Oh, hi. Yeah, first of all, I want to say I'm really glad that Bob is getting the recognition he deserves.
Thank you so much.
I just want to mention there is that movie, and Radio Unnameable, that I understand
That's
is
right,
a great
you're a
documentary.
Movie star, Bob.
I haven't seen it yet, but people should check that out. And I just want to talk about how I discovered BAI and Bob Fass. And this was 1967. I was at a friend's house. This was the height of the Vietnam War. And the station was raising money, as it often does, as it has to do. And Bob was on, and he was playing God Bless America by Kate Smith. And he threatened that he would play it over and over and over until he got enough donations. And then when he got enough donations, a certain amount, he would switch to Arlo Guthrie singing Alice's Restaurant. And that's how I discovered Bob Fass, BAI, and Arlo Guthrie. So thank you, Bob.
That's amazing. Well, Bob Fass, do you remember how long it
thank
took?
Thank you for listening.
How long was God Bless America playing?
Well, you know, in the 40s and the 50s, Kate Smith was you can't imagine how, like, she was as iconic as Umm Kulthum is to Egyptians. She was the voice of American patriotism, and she was a nice lady. Really nice lady, but...
So you are the bridge between American patriotism and Arlo Guthrie.
She invented Hello, Everybody.
Well, you know, people like Arlo Guthrie are the real American patriots. Yeah. You know, we may be anti-war, but we believe in the purported ideals of this country. And
I could tell you a fundraising story that has a relationship to that, but it's a different experience.
All right, Phil Shapp, tell us
and
that
I'll
story.
Compress it. So we did the Louis Armstrong Festival in July of 1980, and I wrote a discography of Charlie Parker, of Louis Armstrong, and we sold it at a fairly high tariff, $40 in 1980 money, and we made a 4,000 print run, and they all sold out quickly. And while we were taking pledges, we played a record of Louis Armstrong called Honey Dew. And whenever that record's been played in the last 32 years, people call up out of the blue and want to give us money.
I'll remember that.
Money do.
So we just have two of the honorees here in studio with us, Steve. You're also honoring hip-hop DJs, Latin music, Irish music in New York City. When you were thinking about who to pull into this group, what do you think connects them?
What we, you know, what City Lore is always about is the connection to communities in New York. And the DJs that we picked are really, they anchor a community, you know. And the idea was DJs always were tied into live events, too. Bob can talk about the happenings of the 60s, which were a great example of that, you know, where the radio was the focal point for a community. And it is the focal point of the jazz community in New York. And of the, you know, radical politics and hip music.
And art community.
Of Bob. And then we're also honoring Oscar Brand. You know, Oscar, 67 years. His anniversary, the 67th year on the air, is coming up on December 9th.
Here on WNYC.
On WNYC.
Yeah. In high school.
So.
He's necessary when I think of how I came to love folk music. It was it came mostly from listening to his program on WNYC. It was a moment that I tried to clear every week. If I was away from my radio during that time, I really felt like I had suffered an amputation.
Before anybody's a radio DJ, they're a radio fan. So, Phil Schaap, just quickly, what radio did you grow up on?
I guess I'm a younger tribe today because I remember listening to Oscar Brown in elementary school. I also remember when he visited KCR and did some shifts there in the early 70s. But, of course, the jazz DJs were our listening, and there was, of course, Ed Beach on WRVR was a big one. Mort Faga. You go all the way back.
Do you remember B. Mitchell Reed?
I do, and I also remember jumping with Symphony Sid.
All right, so many names.
But in any case,
how about
I wanted
George Crater.
So the ceremony is Sunday.
It's Sunday.
People's Hall of Fame.
The People's Hall of Fame at the Museum of the City of New York at 3:00. There's plenty of tickets. People can welcome to come. And what we're doing is we're having a panel discussion and a keynote about radio in New York, followed by honoring these six wonderful DJs.
All the info's on our website. Make it a priority. I'm Anna Sale, for Brian Lehr. We got to go.
I have 10 tickets. You can, if you give Phil Schaap's name or my name at the door, you can get in.
You can get in.
They might even play a jazz record.
All right. Have a great weekend, everyone.